Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 37 and a new mum. And when I was on the fence about becoming a parent, all I heard was, but it'll be the making of you. Now I've got a baby. All I hear is, you think breastfeeding's hard? Just wait till you're weaning. Now, despite deciding to baby, there's still loads more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejectors and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Rachel, who had a baby with her friend.
He's a gay guy, and so for him, he always needed a female figure to have a baby with, but I needed to get out of the mindset of maybe I would meet somebody, maybe this isn't the way that I'd considered.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and bestie, Camilla.
Hi, we're back again.
Oh my God, we're back again. Gotta love the Backstreet Boys. Can we please talk about hair?
Yes.
Hey, do you like my new fringe? You haven't even said anything.
I mean, you're trying to be me, but...
Babes, I was the original fringe wearer. As a child, I came first, you came second. Therefore, I've just retrieved what was in my history that you've been clinging on to for all that time.
But who has never wavered with their loyalty to the fringe?
That is very true. And I do feel like you.
And also, it does pee me off a little bit because you look better than me.
Oh, shut up.
No, you do. You do. And you can do the like curtainy fringe thing and I can't do that.
Well, I appreciate you telling me that. Anyway, that's not why I wanted to talk about hair.
No.
I want to talk about the fact that so shortly after having the fringe chopped in, I was feeling like pretty swish about myself, like, woo, new do, new year, new do. And then I think I'm losing my hair. And I know this is a thing that can happen after you've had a baby, but I thought, oh, like she's 4 months now. Like I'm out of the woods on that. I am constantly fucking itching and feeling a ticklish thing down my bra, down my back, in my pants, everywhere. Hair.
It does sound a bit later on, but that's just my experience because I lost mine really quickly after pregnancy. Like I remember it coming out in handfuls and I was thinking, oh my God, how much of this is going to come out? Yeah. Because obviously your hair thickens so much at the end of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which is the phase I'm at. So I'm hoping I'm going to be Rapunzel soon.
Oh yeah. But if it does, that means the hair's got to go. The hair's got to come out.
Yeah, true. And it's not very nice actually. Is it? Because you kind of associate that with like being a bit unwell and it's not a very nice feeling, is it?
Yeah, I read something that says on average, a human loses 80 hairs a day. After you've had a baby, 400 hairs.
No wonder my brush needed emptying so many times. Seriously.
It's less to have to do in the morning. Although cleaning out the shower plug every time I wash my sodding hair is a faff.
Yeah, but if I recall, we've always had to do that with you anyway.
We've always had that problem with Naomi. Very
we have.
Hairy
me and
the
my dad
shower.
Used to talk about it, meetings and everything. I mean, you are quite hairy.
Okay. If you want to get into it, Mel, let's get into it, right? I am quite a hairy person, okay? So I have my bikini line lasered, right? But why do you lose the hair from your head where you want to keep it? Why can't I lose it from my legs? I can't be arse shaving my legs. Poor Dan, basically I am full Yeti mode at the minute. Why can't you lose your hair from your armpits? No. After you've had a baby, as if you're not going through enough of this shit, yeah, go on, take some hair off her head as well. Why don't you? Now, just quickly, before we get into the interview, I was recording this from my wardrobe in Bristol and Rachel was recording from her living room in Tel Aviv. And therefore, in the audio, there are a couple of like little crackly bits. And so I hope that you can bear with the crackles because the story is amazing.
Hi, my name is Rachel Erdos. I'm 42. And I have a son who's just over a year and a month, and I entered into a co-parenting situation. So I decided to get pregnant with a friend of mine.
Which I am fascinated by because I feel like it's one of those things where if you get it right, can be the best thing in the world ever. But I imagine comes with complications in that, for example, some people go, oh, like even the idea of like living with one of their best friends, maybe you go, okay, well, we get on amazingly as best friends, but to do that thing together, maybe not so much. Whereas I feel like co-parenting brings a whole new level of potential complications. But we'll kind of get to that and see if you've encountered any of that. But first off, did you always want kids? Did you, you know, was it a thing where you were kind of aware of the biological clock and all that joyous stuff?
So definitely wanted kids, but was more than happy to wait. I'm a choreographer. I've traveled the world, done interesting projects. So it definitely wasn't something that, oh my goodness, I wish I was at home now with three children. I have a really good career, and that sort of took over, and I'm really fulfilled by it. I mean, the last year with all, you know, COVID, it's been a bit difficult, but basically it was a real dilemma of am I going to do it? Do I want to do it? What does that mean of giving up in my career? And yeah, that I'm running out of time. So I could have quite happily not done the child thing. So I really had to think hard whether I wanted to or didn't want to do it.
So how did you come to that decision then? What kind of pushed you to go, no, actually, I do want to do this and I'm going to go for it?
Several things. First of all, I was beginning to feel the last few years in my career that, great, I got another opportunity to go abroad and work in a different country that I hadn't been. And I was still very excited and fulfilled from it, but it was each year it was having slightly less of the excitement of that it would have been a few years ago. And I began to realize that it couldn't make up for having a family. And however cliche it is, I reached 40 and basically gave myself a talking to that I needed to do it. And I have many friends who it took them a very long time. So I wasn't naive about the whole thing. I didn't want to be to the point that, shit, I've decided to do it now and it's taken me much longer and I've missed the opportunity. So I guess deep down, I always knew that I wanted a family, but definitely, you know, I was more than happy to wait and have done other things with my life.
Yeah, and it sounds like you got to do some amazing things first, so good for you. Now, when you decided, so you get to that stage and you think, right, yeah, okay, I'm ready, I want to do this now. What were your options? Like, obviously, you went down the co-parenting route, but what were your options on the table at the point where you've just decided, yes, I'm going to go for it and I want to have a baby?
So luckily, I already had an option. So this actually wasn't the first time I was approached to do co-parenting. About 5 years before that, somebody that I know and respect very much basically took me out for dinner and said, would you like to do co-parenting? I was completely flabbergasted and very honored, but then it was definitely like, no, I'm not at that place. And then a few years later, the guy who I eventually did have a baby with, who is, I'm a choreographer, he's a dancer. We worked together for over 10 years, traveled the world, collaborated on many different projects. He brought it up a few years before. So it had sat in my mind for a long time of this could be an option. And so I think I not always knew I had a backup plan. That sounds bad. But I wasn't at the time ready to think about it. I think for him, it was very clear he's a gay guy. And so for him, he always needed a female figure to have a baby with. But I needed to get out of the mindset of maybe I would meet somebody. Maybe this isn't the way that I'd considered doing it. So I think I had to broach with myself the whole idea of this fantasy of doing it with your husband or partner to get to the stage of being ready to really consider it. And then actually, when I read it, got to the place that, okay, I'm going to do it, I thought I was going to do it on my own. I had a moment of like, no. So maybe if I don't have a husband or a partner, maybe I will consider having a child on my own. And then basically what happened was I was advised that this counsellor who you can go and talk to, who gives you actually advice also on the, I didn't know where to start, which doctor do you go to, what stage, what do you do, what first, you go and check out if your eggs are viable, you go check out, you know, I didn't know anywhere to start. And somebody recommended, I'm based in Tel Aviv, that there's this woman who deals with the medical stages and gives you advice. So I, you know, signed up to go to her. And I'm talking to her about my situation and my life. And actually, she said to me, what are your options? And I said, either to do it on my own or to do it with a friend of mine. And she, after hearing me speak, said, oh, you sound like a really independent, strong woman. I think you could do it on your own. suddenly the light came on that I could do it on my own, but do I want to do it on my own? And then I started thinking about it more. For me, I think one of the issues for a long time was I grew up in England. I grew up in Newcastle upon Tyne, and then I lived in London for a while, and then I moved to Tel Aviv. And half of some of my family are based in Tel Aviv or in Israel, and some of them in England. And I felt that if I joined this co-parenting situation, then moving countries would not be an option. Like basically settling down for a very long time, which is ironic because I've now been here almost 20 years. So it's not that anywhere else has been my home for a very long time, but something about not being able to move if I wanted to, or my sister lives in London, we're very close, not being able to pick up my newly made family and go live near here, that really for a long time was one of the reasons that I was like, no, I'm going to do it on my own and then I have real freedom.
Yeah.
And then something that she said actually was like, but on the day-to-day part of it, like having somebody who you trust, who can help you out, who you're in this together, has so many advantages.
Yeah. What conversations did you kind of have to have with your friend? Like once you decided, okay, I could do it on my own, but actually I feel quite up for the co-parenting thing. What conversations did you have to have between you? Like how were the logistics of that? Because I feel like it'd be a minefield.
Okay, so the good thing about the whole thing, the woman that I went to, this therapist, she said, okay, bring him to me, like come together. I will give you a session or several sessions where I'll ask you some quite difficult questions and we'll see how you deal with it. So I hadn't decided yet. I decided to ask my friend if he would be willing to go through this with me without knowing that there'd definitely be an answer of yes or no. He said either way he supports the process. And we went to this therapist basically and she asked us questions like partly, you know, what type of education or how do you see things working or what are your expectations for each other? How have you been in situations in the past where you have to help each other? Are you good at asking for help? Like all different things, some very practical things. A funny one is, you know, in the Jewish religion, they do a circumcision. Would you both be up for that? And we were like, why are you asking that? She's like, you wouldn't believe how many parents don't discuss very simple things. And you need to know if you're on the same wavelength. So sitting there in the room with him, seeing how he answered and how we respected each other made me think, okay, this could work. And then she sort of led the process. Like I think we went twice and then I called him and said, look, I've made a decision that yes, let's do it. I also spoke to her what she thought. She said that she was obviously very impressed with the way we responded to each other. We seemed to have similar expectations of how this would work. And then we dove into this. There's a contract. Now, there's many different types. I guess it depends where you live and also what type of contract. But there's a contract that you go into. Now, I don't think for me personally, it's not the signing of the contract that's important. It's going through it and discussing your expectations, whether that's how many times you would consider IVF until it works, or what are your expectations financially, or in terms of how many times do you expect the child will stay at each person's house. And I think that ultimately just discussing all this before helps you to really realize what is involved. Ironically, I have to say, I got pregnant on the first time and was already pregnant as we were discussing the contract. So it all was a bit crazy. Yeah, basically, after thinking it was going to take me forever to get pregnant, I was super blessed. And I did one round of IUI and found out I was pregnant. So I had no time to change my mind or to wonder if this was the biggest mistake ever because I was already pregnant.
Oh my God, how amazing, but also bonkers that at that point, I imagine, so you hadn't even signed the contract, so you're still negotiating when actually the deal had literally been done.
Yes, yes, but really I didn't see it like negotiation. It was really more, okay, what surname are we going to give our child? Lots of things we kept open that like when we will discuss it and we will come to a decision naturally. I feel that these contracts are a bit like a prenup. Like luckily you don't have to use them. I can't remember half the things that we wrote and it's away somewhere. But God forbid something goes bad and we end up in a terrible situation in a few years' time, we have it to protect ourselves and each other.
you know what? There are times that I wish that me and Dan had had to arrange and sign a contract before we had Eleni.
Honestly, listening to it, I was thinking everyone probably should be doing a contract before having a child.
Here's what I would have in my contract. See if you're the same, Mill.
Okay.
Every decision that I make is the right one and you will always obey this. Please sign here.
Is this like life?
Or I mean, we can just go
as the mother, because like, honestly,
I was going to say,
that's your contract to all people.
I was going to say, it can just be about Eleni, but if generally Dan just realised that I am right about everything and he could just go with that, the world would be a better place. How did friends and family react to your decision to go down the co-parenting route?
They were really supportive. I think if you wait long enough to have a child, most of your family will be happy that you're having one regardless of yeah. how you bring it. Go buy it in Tesco's, doesn't really matter. So mostly very supportive. And also my family know this person. I mean, not massively, but like have known, have met, had good vibes. I mean, it was, you know, there is the weird thing where we had to do dinner with each other's parents and get to know them a bit better. And it's like, you feel suddenly you've jumped like 20 stages forward, where suddenly you're married and you have this partner and you're pregnant, and it's not really like that. But most people are supportive. I think nowadays people are more aware or curious and ask questions, which is fine by me.
So in terms of like, once you were pregnant, how did you find navigating the pregnancy and the birth situation as co-parents? Because effectively, it's all on you, really, in terms of like, it, regardless of the parenting situation, as the person carrying the baby, you're in charge almost.
Yeah, it's a mixture of many things. I mean, there's the whole, it's your body, you're going through it. And there's this person that, you know, they want to be involved. But how is that possible? It's not that they're living with you and you can be like, oh, my feet hurt, or I'm naive, but you know, my feet hurt, give me a massage, or I'm craving ice cream in the middle of the night. Like, I was living in my apartment, he was living in his apartment. But he came to the appointments with me, he wanted to be very involved. You start off being embarrassed, like, oh, another appointment where I'm taking off my underpants, and you know, it's behind a curtain, but you start off, this person, you know, is somebody I've worked with and been friendly with for a long time, but this is quite intimate, but you get more and more used to it. I found it useful that there was somebody there to talk about that. I was, you know, if you were nervous or there was lots of bureaucracy, you know, I need to book for this appointment and that appointment, and I've got a busy work schedule and they're not answering. And he's like, so just leave me the numbers and I'll call. And I'm like, oh, okay, there is someone else who can help me out. So he was quite good at the practical things. That took off quite a lot of the emotional stress from me. That there was somebody else to just be like, I need this information and they're not answering. And he's like, yeah, okay, good, done. And we're leaving a message like 40 minutes later saying, okay, you're going, you know, we can go to that appointment on whatever, this date. So I think that already started off me feeling, okay, calmer about the whole thing. I have to say, one of the good things about starting off with a counsellor is that in our minds now, we now know that if there's any trouble, not necessarily we'd have to go to her again, but we're used to going and discussing with a professional problems that we might have. Now, luckily, we'll get to this, but luckily we haven't needed to go up till now. But jokingly, occasionally, if there's something we don't agree on, we're like, we need to call her, we need to go. It's like become this joke.
Yeah. What have been the things that you maybe have disagreed on, or that you've joked, oh, this is the thing that's going to mean we have to go back to therapy?
Look, I have to say things have gone pretty, you know, we've just finished the first year and pretty smoothly. I think like most couples with a baby, one of the hard things is schedule. Sometimes it can feel a bit like passing a package backwards and forth. Like, you need to be, because I need to leave the house, because I need to go to work, because I need to be at this meeting. That's one of the hard things. For example, on purpose, we don't have such a strict schedule. We'd sit down and like discuss the upcoming 2 weeks and find out what works for us. So I'll be like, oh, I have some event on Thursday night. And then he says, okay, so we take and stay at my house. We started sleeping at both houses from almost a year. So that means he's stayed now at his dad's house 4 or 5 times. At the beginning, it was difficult because he he would cry a lot. That's also very hard when you know, because he'd be like, Itai screaming, and I'm like, oh, what do you want me to do about it? But if Itai is in my house and he cries a lot, then it's very tempting for me to bring him into my bed, and that settles him really easily. But I know that that's not really fair on Itai's dad, because then it makes it even harder when he stays at his house. So there's things like that that you have to work out what's the right thing to do for your situation, not just for the individual in it.
How far apart are you in terms of like getting between each other's like places?
It's not so far, but with traffic, it can take anywhere between 20 minutes on a good day to 40 minutes on a bad day. So just a different part of the city. But on bad days, he turns up and like, oh my God, it took me forever. And that's really hard for me. That like, okay, but that's what you have to do. I have to get up in the middle of the night and you have to drive from where you live. So that's one of the things that can be a little bit stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine. Were there any points kind of through pregnancy or maybe in the early days or maybe even now that you questioned, oh my God, am I making the right decision? Is this the right thing to do?
During pregnancy, yes. Since Itai came, no. When I was pregnant, I think more because sometimes it's weird and the whole situation's a bit bizarre and maybe this is all a bit too much. But since having a child, first of all, I totally think it's the best thing I've ever done. And having somebody to support me through it and seeing Itai with his dad and how much like he adores him and how much it's so nice that like he knows who this father is and there's more love. And I love the fact that we have the whole of his family as well. So I'm more than happy to go with them for meals, let's say at the weekend, or for different, you know, celebrations, birthdays or festivals. Like it's really nice to me that my child has even more love and people surrounding him.
Dan, do you want to explain what you just found in your lunch?
So yeah, in my egg on toast, there was a little addition to the recipe by you, which was a nice little hair. Thanks for that.
And then when we were eating dinner last night, the pies that I'd so lovingly made, what did you find in your pie?
Yeah, another hair.
And how was that for you?
Yeah, it was delightful. I'm not going to hold it against you. There's nothing you can do about it. But I was looking at Amazon at Hairnet, so...
We talked a bit about kind of navigating pregnancy and your appointments and things, but how was the birth situation? Who did you have with you when you gave birth? How was that?
Basically, I had a child who didn't want to come out. So I got to week 40 and there was no sign, 40 even and plus, there was no sign of any movement in that direction. And I had slight gestational diabetes, and also because of my age, they didn't want me to go pregnant too far. So we'd been to, I'd booked a doula. And we'd been to, I didn't want to go to one of these antenatal classes, like a group one, that I felt uncomfortable in my situation. Like I didn't want to go with other couples who's all massaging each other's backs and talking about, you know, oh yeah, this is my husband and this is my this. And I'm like, oh, this is my, you know, friend and we're doing it together. That was the only, one of the only things in the whole thing that I'm like, that I don't feel comfortable with. So we found a doula who gave us three sessions, like, explaining how birth works and tips and stuff. And the one thing that she said was like, oh, if you end up being induced, and like, I don't know what happened at the time, but literally I think I went white and like almost collapsed. And all of her talking about being in all the ways of being induced, I was just like almost hyperventilating. And then I get to 40 weeks plus and they're like, okay, so we're thinking of induce you. Like I had to go every few days for a checkup. And the hospital, they're like, look, we want this baby to come out and we think we're going to, there's two options. We're either going to induce you today or you're going to have a C-section. And then they're like, and you have to decide. Now that was a bit weird because we're both there together. And how do you decide this sort of thing? Obviously, my friend was, you know, called Yoav. It's about time he has a name, 30 minutes into the conversation. So Yoav says, you know, obviously it's your choice. Like but how do you make this choice? And then ultimately they took my records to the head of the antenatal department. And a few years ago, I'd had an operation. Anyway, they just basically decided it was too risky for me to have to start the whole induction thing. And they said, okay, what we recommend is you go home and basically come back in the morning and we're going to give you a cesarean. I guess in the advantage of having a cesarean is you're going to the operating room on your own, and then your partner, even if they're your partner or co-parenting, is allowed to come just at the very end. They stand near your face and they're basically they put the baby on you for 2 seconds, and then they give him the baby, and then the dad goes with the baby. So I guess because there wasn't any of this, oh my God, does he need to hold my hand? Does he need to hear me screaming? Does he need to like look in between my legs? Does he need to bring me ice cubes? You know, there was none of that of like 20 hours of, you know, how, what am I going to do? So yeah, and then we had a baby. So in a way, the cesarean made it, I mean, not that it was easy, but it was clearer what each person's role.
Last question for you. Do you have any advice for anyone thinking about going down the co-parenting route?
Find somebody that you can trust. I don't worry that when my child is with his dad, that like, that he's okay. Like for me, the fact that we've got a history together, that we've been through things, that we know how to solve problems, that we know each other well, he knows what I need, he knows the days that I'm super quiet, it means probably I'm not okay, or like what to do to cheer me up, or how to just help, even though I don't say. So for me, I can't imagine there's people who do it with somebody they've never met. That for me seems much scarier. But if there is somebody in your life who you can imagine being a good dad to your child, that seems the most important. But somebody who you can go with the flow, you have to let things go. You have to not get on an ego trip. You have to see the whole picture as opposed to the little details. Because I can see how people can get into situations where, no, you did this, you said this, you said you'd be here at this time. This is not what we agreed. And that's just not a good place to be in any relationship. And it's ultimately a relationship like any other. It's a partnership, that's for life, because we've brought a child into the world. And I'll leave on this note, we're discussing whether we would have a second one or not is the big debate at the moment. Yeah, because I, as we said, I have a quite strong ticking biological clock, and we don't know whether, you know, we've been totally blessed with the cutest, sweetest teddy bear of a child, and whether to say thank you, count our blessings, and we have one and that's fine, or whether to take our luck and try, which is a whole other podcast, I think, because how you have two children in this situation, I feel, is like totally shifts the balance. I am totally, mostly in control with my one child on my own, the times that I am, most of the time on my own with him. How that would be with two children, I don't know, but that is the discussion for the new year, let's put it that way.
Wow. Okay, so on this day now as we speak, where are you on the scale of wanting a second or not wanting a second?
Oh my God, changes. It depends how much sleep I've had. Sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? I don't have the energy to like have another child and look after this one. And also, it's not that you can wait until the child's more self-sufficient. Please God, if I was to get pregnant, if I was to try and get pregnant quite quickly, you know, I would have two tiny children most of the time on my own. I can, you know, just about manage to like clean my teeth and take them to the childminder in my pajamas. You know, I don't know how you would ever be a normal person, at least for a few years. So it really depends between, all right, let's just do it, or let's try. We are discussing going back to that woman to have her ask those difficult questions again to see whether we are up for it. So it really depends between, we would like to do it. It'd be great, especially in our situation. I feel it would be nice for you to have a sibling. So that, you know, as he gets older and we do share the time more, and, you know, weekends, I mean, most of the time at the moment we hang out together at the weekends, which is really nice. It might not always be like that, but to have somebody else who is in the situation with him could be really, really nice. On the other hand, it's just feels such a big jump. Feels not like double the work. My friend said to me it's like 10 times more the work. So I don't know. I'm really, confused about it.
Tell you what I found really interesting when you were interviewing Rachel.
Go.
Is the bit where you were talking about you have friends and, you know, really good friends that you couldn't live with, like you couldn't move in with. Because I was thinking about that. Sometimes you think your friends are really good and then you go on holiday with them and they're an absolute nightmare on holiday.
Totally.
How the hell do you pick a friend to co-parent with?
But I loved, one of the things that I loved that she was propositioned not once, but twice to co-parent.
She must be a hot mama.
Clearly, she has given off the good MILF vibes.
The good genes.
But did you know that somebody once asked me if I would have their children?
No.
For them, yeah. I mean, it, granted, it was drunk in a gay bar in Leeds, but he was very persuasive and was very like, if you get to a point where you've not had any kids, then you can have my children because I think they would be very beautiful.
That's a little bit different to full propositioning, though, isn't it?
True. Yeah. I didn't get wined and dined and taken out for a meal.
Me neither. I did have a marriage promise with someone.
Did you?
Yeah, like if we're not married by, I think we said 35. Can't remember.
Who was it?
AD Campbell, Lucy's older brother.
Oh.
And bless him, I think he was nearing it when I met Ed. He probably thought, God damn it.
Oh, shit, he's lost it.
He had a lucky escape. Bless him. Oh, no, love him.
Have you got any friends that you think that you could have had a baby with?
Oh, what, female or male?
Mm.
It's a tough one. Couldn't do it with you. Sorry, sis, but I couldn't.
No, I think it would be very bad.
Oh, I think it would be real bad. We'd like get divorced as sisters, I think.
Yeah, we would. It would be bad. I mean, I love you very much. Although I don't know, I think maybe we could do it.
No, we probably would eventually. We'd find our groove. But which celebrity would you co-parent with if you had to choose a celebrity? I know straight away. Although I'd be in love with him, so it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I've had that problem as well because I was going to say Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah. Mine was Chris Ramsey. Jessica already thinks he's daddy. We get him on the TV and says daddy and I love it so much.
Yeah, ridiculous. Chester thinks that Chris Ramsey, when he comes on TV, is his dad. He looks nothing like Ed, by the way. I don't know where Chester's got this from.
I disagree. I've always thought there's something about him that is a little bit Ed.
What?
No, honestly.
But again, this is proof that maybe we couldn't have done the co-parenting with a friend thing because we just have picked people who we actually are a bit in love with. Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it massively help us out, it truly does. Please do it. But it'll guarantee that you'll come to a mutually agreeable conclusion on all matters, parenting or otherwise.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
You might have night after night after night that you are holding your sobbing wife and you're the biological reason why she can't have what she wants.